Everybody, this is Mike Orshan, and this is Link to Your Worlds, The Rise of the Individual. Today we have Adam J. Kovitz. Adam is the CEO and founder and the publisher of The National Networker, and he's also the executive director of the Relationship Networking Industry Association called the RNIA. Hello, Adam, and give me a little background on yourself.
I always joke around. I'm a recovering engineer and rocket scientist. I worked everything from commercial communication satellites to being a jet propulsion specialist for the military. Got into IT, did project management mostly for the utility industry in the areas of electric generation, deregulation, unbundling of services. And from that, I decided to go out on my own, although I had a partner. In 2000, we started a management consulting company. I worked at, we specialized in strategic planning and organizational development.
And when I think of relationship networking in today's world, I think of social networking.
Business networking, and of course, you hear social networking. You hear you see the MySpaces and the Facebooks championing social networking. You also hear social media. The social and the business tend to come together. You're finding now people who've traditionally been on a platform like LinkedIn, which is specifically business, have made a bit of a migration over to Facebook. And so there's business and Facebook. If you look at the internal grumblings within Facebook, within LinkedIn, you're finding that people want a little bit more functionality. Facebook, There's been some rumors going around that they're planning for an IPO. So when companies tend to plan for an IPO, they tend to kind of hunker down, not do as much listening as they probably should. And again, I think what people find about Facebook that's interesting is, well, it's addictive. There is an element to it because they've gone to open standards and that people can develop their own applications within Facebook. It's created sort of like a little bit of a playground. From an organizational development standpoint, if you remember when we were kids, how did we learn? We learned by playing. And I think there's something inherent in our coding as adults that still wants to do that. Yet we've kind of formed a construct around that that says, play is evil. That's not good because we're now adults. In a lot of ways, the openness of Facebook provides a very interesting situation, a very interesting environment, because we can get business done, and at the same time, while we're talking business, we can do silly things like become vampires and bite our friends.
LinkedIn, I think of Facebook, a little less of MySpace, and maybe there's a couple more that are these kind of public social networks. They're in the news a lot. Will Microsoft buy them? Questions float around. But then there's this other group of social networking tools that are actually created by the individuals. And I want to know, you know, maybe you could talk a little bit about those and why people are doing that and the effect that that's having.
Facebook and MySpace were created by individuals. They were created by college students. Kids, you know, were looking for better ways to connect. I mean, look at a lot of the technologies. You know, remember Napster? Back in the 90s, Napster was a big phenomenon. Eventually, it was bought out, and it's a shadow of what it used to be. However, a lot of the why is it, as someone who tends to be big picture like myself, why is it that we're finding innovation coming out of our colleges and not out of the corporations? Corporations are giant buying machines. They'll buy the technology, they'll take it, and they'll develop it to make more money. But, you know, innovation seems to be coming out of our colleges these days.
There were these two kids that went to Harvard that made a joke call to some guy in Albuquerque about having BASIC on a computer. That it was a lie. And then 5 days later, they flew out to Albuquerque and BASIC worked, and now it's called Microsoft. Maybe that's just a logical path.
Where does innovation come from? Innovation comes from creativity. Well, how do you create an environment of creativity? Do you do it by threatening people? If they don't perform certain job functions, they're gonna lose their jobs? Or do you create more of a play type environment? And maybe I think that's what places like Facebook and Second Life, that's another one. Second Life is like playing a game but networking at the same time. So you're seeing, you know, it's a virtual world where a lot of interesting things happen.
Second Life have a have a social networking component in it, or?
I mean, they've done it for years with, I can't think of some of the, a lot of the games, the first person shooter games and the fantasy games allow you to interact with people all over the internet. And again, that's a social networking situation. You don't know who these people are, yet you're slaying dragons together? Sure.
Let's get closer to the individual. Ning, for instance. Are you familiar? I'm sure you're familiar with that. Well, I think that's – I mean, they advertise that they have over 50,000 networks growing inside there. And so that tells me that this is becoming as common as profile in itself. You know, where do you think all these are going, and can they all be popular?
That's a very good question. Can they all be popular? How much time do people have in the day, and how many networks can we possibly be part of at one given time? Behavioral science will tell us there's no such thing as multitasking. No one can pay attention to more than one thing at any given in any given nanosecond. So we only have so much time to divide. It becomes a question of really time management, how much time we have to devote to such endeavors. Causing issues, again, with corporations are people wasting their time? Should we limit their access? Should we completely close off access to these social networks? But again, are there ones that are more popular? You know, it unfortunately becomes a popularity contest. What organization, let's understand something. Most of these companies want to give, most of the social networking models now, they want to give the social network away for free. They're not going to charge membership. That's, again, very interesting thing about, you know, networking and the internet. They tend to follow basic laws of nature, which says, you know, things follow the path of least resistance.
Who and how are people making money on this? Or,
well, that is the big question. The model is to again charge things for free, give people free entrance, okay, get in there, and then use advertising models to sell. Now, a lot of these organizations are getting very specific. So, in other words, if you join Adam's social network, Adam's networking company, you get involved, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about who you are. Gee, what are your interests there, Michael? Do you like electronics? Where do you live? Interesting. Now, what's happening is I'm able to develop an advertising model that's going to customize itself to your needs.
What kind of numbers are we talking about? How many? So let's say I'm Pepsi, I don't know, and I decide that I'm going to put a whole bunch of dollars into attracting people who are on not only the Facebook-type social networks, but some of the others also somehow. I mean, what are we talking about? Like a million people that we're going to get a hold of, or a billion people? Or, I mean, what kind of audience is inside there?
Din is claiming it has about 12 million members. I personally have an issue with the way these things are evaluated. First of all, I know plenty of people on LinkedIn who are active. I also know plenty of people on LinkedIn who signed up once and never did anything with it. So is 12 million really an active, is 12 million really an accurate number for valuation? Yeah, you need to attract, you know, in the millions or tens of millions to begin to get the attention of the media and larger. And that's not an easy thing to do. But having the right technology at the right time, having the right marketing, that'll certainly help. Facebook, every time you see an article in the paper about Google starting to quake, or, you know, or Microsoft is beginning to really fear Facebook, well, that's perfect. That's a perfect advertisement.
I believe what's proven to be successful in the internet has been when that older generation's been able to contribute and be part of it, and that has been, I think that's been the tipping point.
The baby boomer generation holds all the wealth, okay? The older generation, you know, were brought up by people who were raised in the Great Depression, who, you know, come from a world of scarcity. The mindset of the millennial is extremely different. Their views on money are that money comes and goes. They value things like connectivity. They value their friends. They value knowledge. And they value freedom of expression.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you, audience. Please check out www.linktoyourworld.com, and please leave comments, and we'll talk to you soon.